Hey, gang, it's Jill Schlesinger. I'm launching a new show. It's called Money Moves, and we are going to move. We are going to answer your financial questions and take the mystery out of your financial life. Follow and listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome on into our Wednesday edition of the second half of Sports Talk. This August the 19th, getting ready for some more black and gold preseason action coming up on Saturday. They'll be taking on the LA Rams in the second exhibition for the Saints. They wrapped up a walkthrough today. We'll get back to another joint session after yesterday's melee against Dallas. We'll see what happened against the LA Rams tomorrow before get into more football talk. Want to wish a very, very happy birthday to one of our own, the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert himself. Born in Cutoff, Louisiana, Bobby went from dominating the USFL and leading the Saints to their very first playoff appearance in 1987 to becoming the unquestioned loud and proud voice of the Houdat Nation right here on WWL. Whether he's holding it down on Sports Talk's airwaves, giving us his unfiltered hot takes after a Saints game, or just breaking into his legendary Cajun Cannon laugh, nobody brings the energy, the passion, the local flavor quite like Bobby does, a USFL champion with the Michigan Panthers. He's a Saints Hall of Fame quarterback, a voice of the fans on WWL, keeping the Houdat Nation loud, entertained, and fired up every single day. Happy birthday to a true Louisiana legend, Bobby Hebert. Houdat to him. Looking forward to him taking the reins, pregame coverage of the Bud Light Countdown, the kickoff, all as well as our point after coverage after this LA Rams game coming up on Saturday. And yeah, we had an interesting session with the Cowboys yesterday. We talked a bunch about it with Deuce McAllister shortly after it wrapped up. The bit of bad news from it, you heard Mario in the Sports Flash talking about Saints running back Alvin Kamara expected to be sidelined for at least the next month due to a sprained MCL. He got injured during that joint workout in Oxnard, California, took a handoff, ended up in a pile of bodies, and with his leg appearing to get caught up under another player, Kamara would limp off after the play and did not return to practice. Also of note, leaving from that session, not practicing today as well, Saints cornerback Quincy Riley suffered a groin injury during that same practice. Coach Kellen Moore expects him to be out at least a few weeks. And Audric Estime, he's currently dealing with an ankle issue. Man, oh man, the injuries of training camp keep piling up for the black and gold, Mauro. You know how rough it is, and just we're hoping that nothing's too serious, a little bit of downtime, and maybe most of these guys can get ready for at least week one of the season at Detroit.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, man. I mean, they're starting to pile up a little bit, and one of them is season ending to Brian Brisi on the defensive line. You know you're not going to get him back, but with Riley, with Kamara, with Jordan Tyson, who you guys have been breaking down for a couple of days, you know that we'll be back at least at some point. And you feel a lot better about the fact that the Saints signed Travis Etienne, and you know they have high expectations for him. So he's definitely going to have to step up regardless of how the running back situation behind Alvin shakes out.
Yeah, and the question, you know, with Alvin Kamara too is like, what's going to happen with that running back role? We know Estime's banged up. At least we saw Devin Neal back at practice yesterday, Kendra Miller. Hopefully both of those guys can stay on the healthy side of things because both have battled injuries in their career.
Yeah, that's definitely the conversation with them or where it has to start. And I really like Estime. It's unfortunate he's dealing with an injury as well. We'll gather more information about him. He probably won't play throughout the rest of the preseason very much, if I had to guess. But he really impressed me last year, especially towards the end of the season. And if it is a situation where you had to be without Alvin Kamara for a little while, I feel pretty good about the 1-2 punch with Travis and Estime. I think he's kind of a proven runner, at least between the tackles, and he can really help the Saints.
Really unfortunate right now. I know there was that discussion going into the season about some of the veterans like an Alvin Kamara, a Cam Jordan who's still out with a hamstring injury, and now both are banged up. And, you know, the question, you know, a lot of folks are asking, was it worth even bringing them that back at this point? But I think that leadership they bring in the locker room, as well as their ability still, I think they can both contribute at a high level. Just, you know, old age stinks, man, and those injuries takes a little bit longer to recover from. I'm pretty confident, though, at least Cam Jordan, I think he'll be ready to go week one, as he's been out for a little bit now with this hamstring issue. Just biding time. You know he's staying in shape, though, getting ready for the season.
Well said. And same thing with him, with Alvin. At least you have some depth pieces there. Like, they were aggressive this offseason at defensive end, bringing in Jennings, bringing in Tyree Wilson. So in the meantime, you at least had those guys to count on. And you make some good point about their veteran presence. You know, whether they're not playing in these games early on, it's still good to have them there. You know, guys can get advice from them and whatnot. And like we said, with both of those guys, you would think they'll eventually be back. So hopefully the people at those positions can step up.
Got to ask you, how was being back in the Dome, you know, back on Saturday, calling the game for the Spanish radio network, that Saints-Jags game? You got to knock the dust off a little there?
Yeah, it was awesome, man. I feel like the preseason games in general have been pretty entertaining in terms of coming down to the end. Hunter Deckers almost went in there with no reps and brought the Saints all the way down the field to win the game. So that was fun to watch. And I don't know about you and what they were saying with Hoss and Deuce on the broadcast, but we kept making comments about the crowd being unusually into it for a preseason game, even for that first one. And you saw at least like three or four pre-snap penalties throughout the game. And I know you saw that in joint practice as well. So maybe the Jaguars tackles were just continuing to flinch against the Saints defensive ends. But it was a good atmosphere in there, man. And it's unfortunate they won't be back for a good while now, because
forever,
they're on
ever right.
Yeah, they're on the road for the last two preseason games and for the first 2 weeks of the season, obviously. But it was a good atmosphere in the Superdome. It feels like people are really excited to watch the Saints get back on the field and hopefully be contenders this season.
Yeah, you said it. A nice little warm-up game for preseason action. The black and gold won't be back in the Caesar Superdome till week three of the season. Looking at some of the other news around the NFL right now, we saw Vita Vea getting his contract. You know, you say you request a trade, and it seems like it never fails. You end up getting a deal done after requesting that trade from the Buccaneers. We now have ESPN's Adam Schefter reporting that the defensive tackle, he's agreed to a one-year, $30 million extension. Ooh. Gives him $6 million in new money this season. Big man, big payday.
Yeah, $30 million for an interior lineman. Like, I'm not sure what the inflation is at that position and what it looks like, but that feels like a lot. That being said, it's something that the Buccaneers definitely had to get done. And it feels with them, you know, they're maybe getting to the stage that the Saints were salary cap late in the Drew Brees, Sean Payton era, to where they're just kind of kicking stuff down the road, right? So maybe that's a good deal for them this season, but we'll see what the next few years look like with Tampa Bay, with Levante David already leaving, Mike Evans already leaving, and Vita Vea apparently staying, but we'll see what the future looks like.
Yeah, we'll see if they can get something worked out with Baker Mayfield, although we know he's talked about, I don't want to talk about any deal now once the, you know, that training camp at least started.
Yeah, nobody wants to. But that's how it goes with these things. I remember Dak Prescott a couple of seasons ago didn't agree to a contract until the day of the first game on week one. So these things can drag out. Baker can say that, but that's definitely something they're going to have to attend to probably sooner rather than later.
Want to hear from you on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line, 504-260-187. Any questions, comments about the black and gold, you can sound off as we get ready for preseason game number two against the LA Rams. It's going to be curious to see who's in action for them in this game, or even who's in how much we'll see of some of those starters against the Saints in tomorrow's joint practice. I know last season Matthew Stafford wasn't even available because he was dealing with injury. And so will we get like a heavy dose of Ty Simpson against this Saints defense tomorrow? Even the black and gold offense going against this Rams defense. We just know the Rams are top tier echelon team in the NFL, considered one of the favorites, if not the favorite team to represent the NFC in the Super Bowl right now. And you look at the team they put together, I don't think there's been anything official yet about Aaron Donald, but I think everybody's expecting that to end up getting done soon, and that would just make them even a more fearsome force, because man, oh man, I don't know. It just seems unfair if he's allowed to come back and join this Rams squad.
Yeah, especially with Myles Garrett coming in.
At least we don't play him in the regular season.
Yeah, life is so tough for Los Angeles sports fans, right? Like, they never get any players like that. But I'm looking forward to the joint practice either way, and I hope they see Matthew Stafford offensively.
Yeah.
Chris Olave has definitely stood out to me for the Saints. No matter who he's playing against, he's making plays practice after practice. We saw that against the Cowboys. And it's interesting to me that Julian Blackmon in these team periods, in these joint practices, got an interception against both Trevor Lawrence and the last quarterback that they faced yesterday.
Dak Prescott,
thank you.
So no problem.
If he can get Matt Stafford as well, that's really telling for me. And, you know, these joint practices, I think you guys have been doing a great job breaking down how they're going to be a better look than the actual preseason games a lot of these times. And Julian Blackman has really impressed me defensively, just like Chris Olave has really impressed me offensively.
Really wild of a piece that he was added late last year and just seemed to instantly gel with this squad and fit in with Brandon Staley's scheme. We know, unfortunately, dealt with injuries, and that's the biggest thing we're dealing with right now as well. Just stay healthy, stay on the field, because you're right. Just his ball hawking ability seems to be an integral part of this offense. Definitely a team leader as well as in what he says, but also what he does on the field. And we all know actions speak louder than words when it comes down to it.
Well said. And sometimes it's just that simple, like staying healthy. So that's definitely the case with him. But if he is able to stay healthy, I think that'll be huge. And I also really like how Martin Emerson has played. I think you can make the same case about him, because he was really good in college at Mississippi State, and with Cleveland, those three seasons with the Browns, he was a really productive cornerback. He was just coming off that Achilles injury to where he didn't play last season, but whether it was in college or in the NFL with Cleveland opposite of Denzel Ward there for a couple seasons, he's been really productive. So independent of what's going on with Quincy Riley, I'm really curious to see what he can do for the Saints.
Yeah, I feel like he started out camp maybe a little slow, but things, you know, I guess getting oil in those joints, getting, you know, working out the rust for him, and definitely has been a standout. I feel like he's definitely taken that leap into that number three corner role, at least over Isaac Yiadom at this point. Ike had a rough game against the Jags in the preseason action, but it is just also preseason play. There's no getting too overexcited, no too high, no too low, and any of this with preseason. Everybody talks about it's just a mirage, I think Mike Dettillier says.
Exactly. You got to let it play out. But with Emerson specifically, like I said, those three years with the Browns, he was really productive. It's just about showing he can get off of that Achilles injury, which is tougher at that position. You know, cornerback, a lot of lateral movement and whatnot.
We're going to take a break here on Sports Talk. When we get back, we'll check out out in California. Our Saints sideline reporter, Jeff Nowak, was out of today's walkthrough. We'll go through that with him, as well as yesterday's melee of a practice against the Dallas Cowboys. Even see wrestling websites retweeting the action there from Brock Recksteiner, suplex in the action. Keep it locked right here on WWL Saints Radio. You can sound off 504-260-1870. Coming back with even more right here on Sports Talk right after this. Back here on Sports Talk, Saints football hitting the road this week. Black and gold take on the Rams in Los Angeles on Saturday in preseason action. We got the joint workout tomorrow after they just had a one with the Dallas Cowboys yesterday. Today was a light workout for the Black and Gold as they recover from that physical practice, helping us break things down. WWL Saints sideline reporter Jeff Nowak out in California. Hey, man, how's it been going, Jeff? I know you've been loving the temperatures out there for sure.
Yeah. The only thing that's been hot has been the tempers at practice. But yeah, no, it's been great weather. You know, it's been good work for the Saints. They really didn't do much today at all. It was very much just a walkthrough. No, they weren't even in uniform. They were wearing the kind of T-shirts with the numbers on them. So not a ton to report from today, but yeah, a lot of interest in how that joint practice goes tomorrow.
Before we get into some of the things from yesterday, just curious, any updates injury-wise from some of the guys that did leave the practice yesterday?
Not really. No, I think they're still kind of assessing. Obviously, we heard this morning that Alvin Kamara should miss
sometime,
you know, a few weeks at the minimum with a knee injury. Quincy Riley's groin injury sounds like he's going to miss some time as well. Nothing season-altering type situation as far as I can understand. But, you know, obviously not what you want to see for your starting outside corner. So, you know, we're going to have to figure out who gets the nod, right? Is it going to be Ike Yiadom? Is it going to be Martin Emerson Jr.? That's something that we'll learn more in Thursday's practice, who kind of steps up onto that first line. It had been Ike previously, but I think Martin's been playing really well, so I wouldn't be surprised at all if they kind of shift him into that role across from Kool-Aid. But, you know, that's the other one. And then Ronnie Bell, who left practice yesterday, you know, nothing significant. He was out there today, so Whether he practices tomorrow, I'm not sure, but he's feeling okay.
You mentioned that with Ronnie Bell. Man, the footage, though, that was released from folks in California, you saw him being taken off on a cart, and you feared the worst, of course.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes you just got to ride a cart. I mean, I think people overreact to the cart sometimes. It's not always a devastating injury. Sometimes they just, don't feel like walking.
Well, the most players, though, they just don't want to even get on the cart. Nobody wants to be wheeled off the field.
That's true. Some people don't mind. I wouldn't mind a nice cart ride now and then. I think it was more about that than necessarily the severity of the injury.
Looking at, we talked about the fights that broke out there. It seemed like every other snap something was happening that was, whether it's fisticuffs, foot pushing and shoving. How really intense was it out there, Jeff?
I mean, you've seen some of the clips from the offensive side of the ball. That's where the real significant kind of altercations were. There was dust ups on the defensive side. I would say the Saints defense was who prompted a majority of them, because it was mostly just, hey, on one play, for example, the Cowboys tight end, I think it was Brevin Spanford, he's going down toward the goal line. It's a red zone work. Justin Reed comes up and kind of pops him with a shoulder. And so he's still fighting. And then Martin Emerson Jr. comes in a second time and pops him again. And it's like, that's the first one I think he was okay with. That second one he took exception to. And then you get the little pushing and shoving. But it is what it is, right? I don't think you would overreact to what happened on the defensive side for the Saints. I do think the offensive side got a little out of hand, where you see guys, ripping helmets off and chucking helmets down the field. You see Brock Recksteiner, suplexing a guy. I think Jalen Thompson, who was the safety who had gotten that altercation, probably bit off a bit more than he could chew there. I'm not sure he knows Brock's background. All he knew was, hey, he's wearing a wide receiver number. I could take that guy. Little did he know. But, I don't think it you have to make it into anything more than it is. The practice got a little out of hand. They were able to rein it back in. I don't expect that's what we'll see tomorrow against the Rams. There's something about those open joint practices that adds a little intensity to it. It's rare that you see that type of energy in a closed practice. It was just something. Yesterday was just kind of a weird day, like the defense was in weird numbers. It was just kind of a strange environment. I think that got the better of some folks.
You mentioned McCoy tossing the helmet. I guess he was just channeling his inner Kyle Turley right there.
Yeah. I mean, he got it pretty far downfield too.
Did you ever think that there was any danger of them calling the practice because so many scuffles were breaking out, or do you feel like the coaches kind of had it under wraps?
I mean, I think you have to consider it at a certain point. They were able to get it kind of reined in. Donovan Isaraku, who's second year edge rusher for the Cowboys, he got sent off because he threw a punch. And so I think that's probably what would have happened prior to them just canceling practice. You probably would have said, you, go hit the showers early and we're going to work out without you. I'm sure it's something that's been brought up in meetings, and I'm sure the coaches weren't too happy about it. But at the same time, I think there is some level of bonding that occurs within a team, when you kind of get into one of those brawls. So, again, I don't think it's anything we need to keep talking about beyond what it is, but it definitely drew way more attention away from the practice than I'm sure coaches and players would have preferred to see.
Yeah, you mentioned Recksteiner's move, and even wrestling Twitter sites are retweeting the clip of him with that suplex, so getting more notoriety there. I know you watched the defense of the Saints yesterday. Overall, how did you feel like they went against Dak and Coe? I know we saw a pick, one pick I saw at least on the day. Were there any others?
An interception. They had one interception. That was Julian Blackman. It was kind of a ball that was a little overthrown. I think he was trying to find Pickens in the middle of the field. And that's just what Blackman does really well. He's good at finding, knowing where to be, getting to the spot, and then making plays on the ball. When he gets a chance to intercept the ball, he makes it. And you appreciate that about a safety. Just in general, I thought they played well. That's a good offense. You have George Pickens and CeeDee Lamb. That's tough. I think they did a good job locking down on CeeDee. Like, Kool-Aid McKinstry was matched up with him a lot of the day, and he handled it well. The Saints were kind of rotating in the second string DBs. So you saw, George Pickens had a deep play downfield. Julian Blackman falls down, and it's Ike Adam in coverage, and he goes up for kind of a jump ball and makes the play. But it was the Cowboys' first team offense against like a combination of the Saints' first and second teamers. And that's something we saw last year as well. I think Kellen and Brandon Staley value kind of that mixed group where, hey, you know, it's great to get all this work with our starting 11, but what if we're down one cornerback? What if we're down a linebacker, right? What if we have to mix this guy and this guy? So I think they put an emphasis on getting looks at a group of 11 that might have a few filling guys. And I think that's the stage of the offseason that we're in, the preseason that we're in, where they're just making sure guys have reps next to other players. They're comfortable. The defensive line, I thought, got better as the practice went on. They were getting kind of gashed early on in the run game. Javonte Williams had a nice long run early in the practice. But, you know, that's when they started to ramp up the physicality, and that's when the altercation started. So I think it was kind of, you know, that was kind of a gut check moment for them. Like, hey, we're not getting gashed all day in the run game. Let's make them feel it. I thought Carl Granderson had a particularly good practice. What we saw on that day, and what I think we're going to continue to see, is the Cowboys offensive line was paying a lot of attention to Chase Young. Like, you're not necessarily game planning in these practices, but they definitely went in with the idea of, hey, we're going to push some attention his way so that he can't destroy everything we're trying to do. And if that's going to be the case, and that's going to be the game plan for a lot of opposing offenses, it's going to be on Carl or whoever, Kyrie, Cam Jordan, whoever's on that opposite side and pulling one-on-ones. You got to win those one-on-ones. And that's what I think Carl did yesterday really well, was when he was matched up one-on-one, he was able to get into the backfield. Vernon Brown had a couple of nice pressures. So just in general, I thought it was a good competitive day. That's a really good offense. The Saints, you know, the Rams are going to be a really good offense tomorrow, even though they're down a few pieces. I'm happy with the way the defense has come along. And, you know, as I'm sure you've heard from the other side of the field, it was a lot of Chris Olave. It was a lot of efficiency on that other side. So I think the Saints in general are going to be happy with what they saw out there on tape.
Yeah, loved hearing about, you know, Chris Olave and Tyler Shuck hooking up, just really dismantling that Dallas defense. Are you noticing more of that chemistry shift between those two, Shuck and Olave, from the beginning of camp until now?
Yeah, I think they're dialing it in. You know, I think they're getting a little more comfortable. It's easy to forget, you know, Chris didn't participate in team drills during OTAs or minicamp. He was there, but he was not in kind of the full contact drills. He was out for the first couple of days of camp, right? So he got a little bit of a slow start. I think the timing for those guys is starting to kind of get where you need it to be. You know, Tyler's being able to throw with more anticipation. Chris is able to read what his quarterback's doing. And that's important because, as we know, Jordan Tyson's going to miss some time. We haven't seen Devon Bailey out there lately. I think he's getting kind of rest days, which is strange, but it is what it is. And so, like, that's that kind of connection between those two guys. If you want to win games early in the season, it's got to be kind of in mid-season form. Like, you're not going to have the luxury of being able to kind of just grow into it. Like, you need to go out there and feel like these two guys are going to dominate on offense. And for the last week or so, that's what it's looked like. It didn't necessarily feel that way early on in camp. The offense was struggling. You know, the defense was kind of taking them to task a little bit. But, you know, I think this group has kind of found its identity over the last week. We didn't see the deep passing yesterday that we saw against the Jaguars. And I think that, you know, I think they came out last week in that joint practice with kind of a purpose of getting the ball downfield, just to kind of maybe even prove they could do it. So I'd still like to see more of that. You got Bryce Lance and Berrion Brown out there. I'd like to see them get attacked downfield. But otherwise, I mean, I can't be upset with how that's gone. You know, I like how they're using the running backs. You know, Devin Neal and Kendre Miller were back out there yesterday. Alvin Kamara left with the injury. He's going to miss some time. So, I think there's some positive things on offense for sure.
Hey, Jeff, if I can hop in here real quick. We've talked a little bit about Chris Olave and how good he's looked this offseason. I thought against his teammates, he looked really impressive. That joint practice against the Jacksonville Jaguars and more the same against the Cowboys. You've been covering him going back years his whole career now. Do you think this is the best he's ever looked in any offseason?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think he's a lot more confident in who he is as a player right now than maybe he was a few years ago. I mean, remember last year, it's tough because you're talking about, hey, is he going to be able to get out there and play? You know, and he didn't just do that. He played in 16 games. I think that you know, he needed that. He needed to not necessarily prove it to himself. I think he always believed he could, but, you know, I think a lot of people doubted whether he could get through a full season, 100 catches, 1,200 yards. Like, that builds a lot of confidence. And I think generally speaking, like, when you can bring a guy back, a wide receiver back, with a quarterback who's developing and they have that chemistry together, I think that that works wonders for both guys. Tyler's confident in Chris that Chris is going to do well and, you know, make him look good as a quarterback, and vice versa. Like, Chris is confident that Tyler's going to get him the ball where he needs it to be, you know, not going to be throwing him into dangerous situations. Like, he understands where to deliver the ball, what Chris does well. So now I think there's just a lot of confidence on both ends of that connection. And that's what you're seeing out there, is you're seeing guys that feel like they know how to attack defenses. I remember last year, early on in that connection, we saw a lot of miscommunications, right? There was two interceptions last year where Tyler thought that Chris was going to keep going downfield, and he threw it downfield, and Chris reads it differently and breaks it back. And then the ball just kind of sails and gets picked off. I think there was one against the Dolphins and one against the Bucks, very similar plays. We haven't seen a lot of that this year. Like, we've seen them be on the same page. So, yeah, I think that all kind of builds into it.
Looking at tomorrow's joint workout now coming up against the LA Rams, are there any things that you're going to be looking for besides obviously taking attendance right away, seeing who's going to be out there, that you want to see going into this preseason matchup? We've been talking about it a ton, that it seems like the first teamers getting these reps in the joint sessions is really where it's at, and then the game's going to kind of be for the second and third string guys.
Yeah, and I think that's going to be even a little bit more extreme tomorrow than we had seen it. Like, I think you're going to get a lot of reps for the ones, and, you know, maybe even like 3-1 reps for the ones versus reps for the twos and threes. And they've been kind of combining the twos and the threes, so it's tough to get a read on, you know, whether things have changed necessarily in the backup quarterback conversation. I don't think they have substantively right now. I think they're pretty much in the same boat. But now, I mean, just generally speaking, like I said, you know, I want to see who kind of steps into that CB2 role. Is it going to be Ike? Is it going to be Martin? And then who plays better? Yeah, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if they just rotate and you see some of those reps as Martin, some of those reps as Ike. You know, and I think they've had Ike to the close side of the field to this point. So, you know, do you just go with him because you want to keep Kool-Aid to the wide side of the field? It's a question that we'll kind of get answers to. But no, I just want to see them continue to execute. I'd like to see Devon Bailey out there. You know, it was disappointing not to have him out there on Tuesday. They said it was a rest day.
So there's been no, like, announced injury he's dealing with.
No, but it's a strange explanation because, you know, he didn't play in the preseason game. They had a walkthrough on Friday, or off on Sunday, and Monday was a light practice, basically a walkthrough. So what's the rest for, is my question. It's a strange explanation when you're coming off of effectively four rest days. And he had a rest day last week. He's a third-year player. He's 28. So I don't know. It's a weird one. I'd hope to see him out there. I don't expect him on Saturday. And if you don't get him out there tomorrow, then that would mean he's going like 2 weeks without any major practices, and that's not what you want. So we'll see how that goes. But yeah, I'd like to see the wide receivers beyond Chris Olave get into the mix. That's probably the next thing I want to see. I'll be back watching the offense tomorrow. Like, I need to see who else is going to impact this team beyond Chris Olave. When he's getting doubled or bracketed or whatever, and you can't go to him with the ball, who else is getting open? Like, that's what I want to find out.
Always appreciate the time, Jeff, and I don't know, we'll see what happens tomorrow, but get ready, I guess, for a more physical and maybe some more fisticuffs tomorrow against the Rams.
No, no fights. Zero fights. I'm setting the over-under at 0.5, and I'm betting the under.
Wow. Thanks a lot, man.
All right, yeah, take it easy.
Taking a break here on WWL Sports Talk. You just heard from Saints sideline reporter Jeff Nowak out in California, gearing up for that joint workout against the LA Rams tomorrow. We'll talk about more Saints coverage and a little bit about LSU and some kind of kooky college football news right after this on WWL. Folks, wherever the day takes you, take WWL along with you. Listen live.
The Recap Show is an inside look for fans into the world of global soccer, women's sports, and all things gal culture.
From the inside perspective of two World Cup champions and Olympians.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
live to your favorite WWL shows, plus the news, weather, traffic, and local coverage you count on every day. Just open the Odyssey, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn apps and search for WWL. Staying connected has never been easier. Another wild and wacky story in college football today. I'm sure you folks have seen it out there, and if not, Louisiana judge has issued a temporary restraining order against the NCAA, opening the door for 16 football players, including former LSU edge rusher Jack Pyburn, to leave NFL training camps and return to college football. Pyburn, he played at LSU last season where he was a key starter on defense. After going undrafted, he ended up signing with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers as a rookie and has been competing in an NFL training camp this preseason. Now, why he's suing? He claims he should still have college eligibility because his 2023 season at Florida was cut short by a torn ACL after 9 games. The NCAA's 5-year clock rule blocked him from further playing college ball, forcing him towards the NFL draft. But the court ruling grants him immediate temporary relief to return to the college football ranks if he chooses. Now, Pyburn's not alone. I mentioned there's 15 other players who were part of the Louisiana court ruling, including former James Madison linebacker Trent Hendricks and several SEC players from Ole Miss. I don't know what to make about college ball anymore. It seems completely wild that Could we end up seeing Pyburn hitting the portal and back at LSU?
What a crazy time we're living in. And we've seen some of this in basketball, right? Yeah. Will Wade, LSU, some guys playing overseas or in the G League coming back, but now it's creeping in the football, which is crazy. And obviously you want to take each one of these case by case. There's nuance to every player that tries to do this. But in my head, I'm like, give the college guys a shot. Give the younger guys a shot. You're already in an NFL training camp. Like, do you really need to come back and play college football?
I figure, yeah, once you sign like an NFL contract, you're no longer considered, quote unquote, an amateur, even though we know college football is far from that anymore. It just seems things around the NCAA are crumbling.
Yeah, it's just not what I was used to growing up. And like I said, take everyone case by case, but it's just crazy that this has become this prevalent in basketball, now in football.
For sure. I mean, like I said, if you thought that things couldn't get any wilder in college football, looking at this, we'll see what happens now with the legal domino effect. The ruling builds on a trend started earlier this summer by a Colorado court that challenged the NCAA eligibility rules then. Previous rulings targeted players who hadn't signed NFL deals. Now this Louisiana court directly impacts players who are currently in NFL camps and who have signed NFL contracts. Curious to see how this all shakes out, but the wild world of sports, especially college sports, has turned into a huge soap opera. You can sound off here your thoughts on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line, 504-260-1870. We're breaking here on Sports Talk. We'll come back with even more right after this on WWL. Welcome back into Sports Talk, folks. Wrapping up this hour, getting ready for some fantasy football talk in the 7 o'clock hour. If you want to chime in with any questions for Andrew Erickson, football analyst for Fantasy Pros, you can line up and get ready. He'll be joining us at 7:25. I know a lot of folks getting their leagues underway. Some folks have already drafted, and man, with all the injuries around the NFL, I got to imagine that's brutal already if you've taken somebody and you've suffered injuries for your fantasy team right off the bat, having to scour the waiver wire already for guys. That's why I definitely don't like drafting Mario until after the third preseason game.
Yes, I'm a big fan of drafting in early September. You never know what's going to happen. It might not even be a preseason game. You see guys going down throughout the course of training camp. So I'm definitely with all that. And even from a Saints point of view, I feel like there's a lot of potential for some fantasy football sleepers. So looking forward to that conversation.
Seeing here the ESPN app just flashed a notification of some breaking news. This is in basketball. We've got Cleveland, Denver, and the Clippers have agreed on a trade, sending Peyton Watson to the Cavaliers, Max Strus to L.A., and an unprotected 2031 Cavs first-round pick and a 2032 Kings second-rounder to the Nuggets. Sources are telling ESPN, Shams Charania, Watson will sign a new four-year, $88 million deal to join the Cavaliers, plus a player option and a trade kicker. Absolutely wild when you start seeing 2031, 2032 picks involved.
Yeah, it's funny when teams trade their draft picks for 7 years down the road. I think the Lakers still owe the Pelicans for that Anthony Davis trade from 2019, so that's always fun. I always thought Max Strus was kind of a good player. I've low-key wanted to see him in a Pelicans uniform, so interesting to me that he's bounced around from so many teams the last couple of seasons.
You talk about the Pelicans. I've been waiting for them to pull some kind of move off, even if it isn't something so dramatic, but we know there's always constantly, you know, rumors swirling around this roster and potential, you know, moves with certain guys, but still no major signings, no major moves this offseason for the Pellies.
Yeah, it's a little surprising. They've been so inactive. Like, I've been grasping at straws during the weekend sports reports trying to fit any kind of Pelicans news in there, but just hasn't come to be. But with them, and I know a lot of fans don't want to hear it, but they're just relying on continuity and good health. If they're able to get those things, it's not like the Pelicans are lacking talent. So I know that hasn't been the case. They haven't gotten much injury luck recently, but hoping for some this season, and maybe they could do some damage.
Yeah, it definitely feels like they believe in the roster and hoping that a new head coach kind of can spark something there.
Yeah, exactly. And we saw the same thing with Willie Green. I feel like when he came in, not a lot of people were very excited about the hire, but he did some good work with some individual pieces. You saw what he did with Herb and Jose Alvarado and some of those guys. So hopefully Mosley can recreate that with some of the Pel's younger stars.
I was still upset way back in the day when they let Monty Williams go. I didn't understand that one at all for me.
Yeah, I hear you. There's a whole layer to that conversation. He got fired by the Pistons. But
right, yeah, exactly. But didn't work out there either.
Exactly. Still a fair take, but hopefully this coach is the right one for the Pels.
Folks, you need a new garage door, you can win one from WWL. Hurricane season can put every part of your home and the rest of your garage in danger. WWL and Ace Garage Door giving you a chance to win Hurricane Ready Garage Door giveaway with a brand new garage door installment worth up to $2,500. You can enter to win right now, WWL.com/contest for your chance to win. Get home before the next storm threatens with Ace Garage Door and WWL. Coming back with more sports talk. First top of the hour news here on WWL.
Hey, it's Jen Hatmaker. Here's what I've learned in midlife. Joy isn't the reward you earn after all the work is done. Joy is the work. That's what this new series on For the Love is all about. The sacred, yes. It's choosing delight, rest, and pleasure on purpose. Because saying yes to yourself, that's the thing that finally lets you fill your table with everybody else. Come find your sacred yes with me. Follow and listen to For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.